When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest updates from the world of sports, gambling, and pop culture. Because you can't have a show without hot takes or a Tiger King meme these days. Know what I'm saying? Now, with over 200 episodes and ready to get after it again, here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. Gonna get into it with NFL info. So gonna go over win total odds with Vegas currently, and where I think you can probably find some value, because a lot of these win total lines after the preseason have kind of narrowed it down. And with the 17 game season, it does kind of throw a little wrench into things, because you're gonna have to shop around for some of these lines, because it does vary by team. And if you're getting a number without the hook, it makes a huge difference. And what I mean by the hook is the 0.5. So just for those of you who aren't as savvy on some of the lingo, but so let's get right into it. Obviously, the favored teams are going to have the highest win totals. So the highest win total currently would be the Kansas City Chiefs at 12.5 wins. I'll say this about the Chiefs. They're going to be good. I think they're going to be right back in the mix to win the Super Bowl. I just think 12.5 is still a pretty ambitious number. They certainly have the capability of getting there and getting the 13 wins. But, with the 17-game season, I think the Chiefs are going to be one of those teams looking more towards actually resting players and making sure that they have enough rest down the stretch going into the year, rather than going crazy over trying to satisfy some win totals. So I actually think that the Chiefs line, you could probably bet the under here. If you can get a decent odds percentage, I think most fans would bet the over. And, depending on where you're shopping for lines, you could probably get even or plus money to bet the under on the Chiefs under 12.5 wins. I think they get to 12 wins. So don't get me wrong. It's a very close call. So you can avoid this line entirely. But I do think getting to 13 is going to be a bit ambitious. Especially when you know that the Raiders always play the Chiefs like it's their Super Bowl, and you've got Justin Herbert and the up-and-coming Chargers on their heels. It's very tough for Kansas City to get to that 13. I mean, they certainly can do it. But the thing is, you have to understand that the Chiefs were 8-1 in one-score games last season, and that was with Mahomes getting injured. There's still a chance for Mahomes and that toe might not be fully 100% healthy. I would just be a little bit more skeptical of betting the over on that one. The under, you could fade it entirely, but I do think it's viable if you get a decent enough line to actually bet the under 12.5 for the Chiefs. Next up, we've got the defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I questioned this team at times last year, got burned by it, but I stand behind it because I knew the defense was good enough. I wasn't sure the offense would get there enough because, again, you have Tom Brady, who normally just throws short passes. He actually still could throw the deep ball, and they actually got something out of their run game late in the year, which was not nearly as effective early on in the season, despite how much they ran it down early on early downs. So 11.5 win total on the current odds for Tampa. Here's the thing that makes me wonder if I even want to play on this one. It seems deceptive because New Orleans lost Breeze, which I believe is an addition by subtraction. I'll get to that later. You've got Sam Darnold in the division, which I know people scoff at it, but that is an upgrade over Teddy Bridgewater because you've got Darnold paired with Roddy Anderson. And that Panthers defense, it was young, but was a playmaking defense similar to the Bucs. I don't think this is... I think it, basically the weakest team in that division is Atlanta. I don't necessarily think that the Bucs have it easy in their own division, even though by win totals, the Bucs technically have the fifth easiest schedule in the NFL. 12 wins is... it's a lot. It's asking a lot with a Tom Brady team where you know he's going to want to try to ease back into things coming off that knee surgery. I think the first couple of months could be a little bit dicey for the Bucs. I mean, I definitely think they make the playoffs, but, you know, of course... I said playoffs, and I probably should have played my Jim Moore a bit, but it would get very old by the time we got through all these teams. But I would probably stay away from this line because, you know, from a game-to-game standpoint, the reason why I had such a hard time putting a finger on the Bucs is even by the Football Outsiders variance metric, they were dead last. They were the most volatile team. Meaning you could not predict what this team was going to do week to week. You know, the defense got hot. They brought back everyone seemingly on the roster that mattered. Yeah, you could say that they're going to peak. They're going to come in right where they were at their peak. But I think it's just as likely guys, you know, take a foot off the gas pedal a little bit. They come back down to where they were and they struggle. I'm not entirely sold on the Bucs, so I would stay off this line or bet the under, to be perfectly honest with you guys. It's not exactly the easiest thing. And if you see a line where you get 12 on the Bucs, take the under. Take the under. Because without that hook at the 11.5, if you bump it up to 12, take the under. Because I think worst case scenario, they hit the 12 even. I do not see this team going 13-4. In a 17-game season. I just can't. I can't. So, yeah, definitely either pass or take the under with the Bucs at 12. Moving on, we've got the Baltimore Ravens. So, we got to talk about this further because we've got injuries galore with Baltimore who have lost... they've lost J.K. Dobbins... their starting running back, and their third-string running back, Justice Hill, leaving only Gus Edwards as their healthiest running back and essentially a practice squad rookie as their running backs for the number one rushing attack in the league the last 2 years. This is an interesting case here because we got a win total of 11-4 Baltimore. I know what Baltimore is going to want to do. They're going to just keep running the ball regardless. The question becomes, do you think Lamar Jackson is going to be able to stay healthy? And so far, they have been able to avoid significant injuries until now, where they've lost two running backs before the season even started. It makes it very interesting if, you know, you lost Lamar Jackson last year for the Steelers game, which was probably the worst game in the NFL last year, viewing-wise. Man, that was a horrible game to watch. But, you know, I have my concerns about Baltimore health-wise, but to me, this is all a question of, do you trust Lamar Jackson? And I think Lamar, you know, is motivated again with another playoff loss that was avoidable. I think they win 12 games this year. I would bet the over on the Ravens. I actually do like Baltimore to get to the 12 overall. And, you know, by and large, depending on the lines, you could probably get good value out of it, because with the running back injuries that we've seen with the Ravens, I actually think some lines might drop them another hook at 10.5. But I definitely see Baltimore getting to at least 11 wins. It's still a tough division. No, don't get me wrong. The Steelers are not going to go away, even though I think that Steelers team is on fumes. I don't think they're going away. The Browns obviously are a problem, but, you know, and the Bengals, you know, are the Bengals. But at the end of the day, I trust Baltimore to do the sensible things in the regular season to get themselves in the position of winning a championship come postseason. It just comes down to whether or not they can execute that game plan in the postseason when everyone's game plan for it, and you've got the best teams left to try to stop that running attack. You know, that's the bottom line. So, in terms of the cons against the Ravens, last year it was considered the fifth easiest schedule in the NFL. Don't necessarily buy it, but it's true. That this year the schedule looks a bit tougher, where it's ranked the 10th hardest. But the other aspect is the offenses that they're going to be going against are chunk yardage play type offenses, because they're saying it's projected that its expected play average is going to be the fifth hardest. So meaning that they're going against explosive offenses that's going to force them to try to put up points, so they're going to have to try to throw more. We'll see. We'll see when it comes to the Ravens. But I tend to lean more on the side of, I actually believe in what the Ravens are going to do, versus the next team I'm going to talk about being the Buffalo Bills. All right. The Bills have adopted a throw-first mentality. They throw pretty much going from 11 personnel, where and you have you're spreading out your offense the 11 personnel, where you spread out your offense as about the bulk of 70% of offense overall. And they're just throwing the ball down the field. And the leap in progression for Josh Allen last year, where people were saying he was the MVP, is mainly due to Stephon Diggs getting open. I am more of the belief that if you play defense over the top and you go out of your way to oversell to shut down Stephon Diggs, I'm still very much curious about Josh Allen's ability to make throws over the middle and do 15 play drives consistently, because I think he, you know, has room to grow as a QB. People want to say he was the MVP. He wasn't the MVP. The Bills could have ran the ball more if they wanted to, but they chose not to because their blocking schemes legitimately was not that great, even though they have decent running backs to run more. I actually think that you know, the addition of Emmanuel Sanders could be the difference maker here. Because Emmanuel Sanders knows how to get open in space. A huge upgrade over Cole Beasley. My whole thing is, if Josh Allen can find a pocket of space short underneath the medium route, so that 7 to 12 yard area, the Bills are going to smash the win total on the over. I have my doubts about that. Folks want to say that the Bills are the Super Bowl contender. They're going to win 12 plus games. They're going to be the number one seed in the AFC. I have some doubts about that. I mean, they went 5-1 in one score games last year. They dealt with three West Coast teams playing 1 o'clock games on Sundays last year. They don't have the AFC West in their schedule this year at home. I just look at it in that, you know, Josh Allen was a 30% thrower on passes over 20 yards in 2019, and it got up to 47% last season. I don't see him coming close to that number on deep balls. 47% is crazy. I mean, Stephon Diggs was a maniac last year, but that was a career year for Diggs. It was a career year for Allen. It is very hard to duplicate something even close to that. Again, if they do, tip of the cap to them. They'll smash the over. I'm going to take the under. I think the Bills win a very close division. They've got tough teams in there. Miami will play them tough. The Jets always play them tough. And New England, you know, people want to question why Cam got released. Listen, Cam was never going to be more than what he was in New England. I just look at it as, I feel bad for Cam Newton because the foot injury, and combined with the shoulder injury. And the shoulder injury is what really put the nail in the coffin. But I honestly think Cam probably would have, if he had to do it all over again, probably decides not to get the shoulder surgery and just try to keep playing through the pain. Because the restriction in his shoulder is what ended Cam Newton's starting QB career, more than anything else. To the point that Mac Jones, you saw enough out of him in the preseason that, you know, getting him the reps now just makes more sense long-term for the Patriots. So while I do think the Pats still finish last in that division, I think that the Bills have a lot on their hands to deal with inside the division. And, you know, scheduling-wise, teams are going to get up for the Bills. They are not going to be sleeping on the Bills. I'm just saying that now. And you've got other squads, you know, that are looking to make the playoffs as well, that they're going to have to go up against. I'm just saying that I think there's a little bit too much hype steam coming in on the Bills. I'm staying off of it. I'm taking the under, and we'll see where it goes. Another team that's got way too much hype going on. We got the LA Rams. I love this so much. You've got the Rams with a 10.5 number, and I want to know where in Matt Stafford's career, even with all the gaudy stats he's been able to put up, where in his career he's been able to actually produce efficiently enough. Now, Sean McVay is going to put out the best Matthew Stafford we have ever seen. I don't know if that Matthew Stafford is still good enough in the clutch to get it done. If the Rams execute the way he can, because I thought Jared Goff was a disaster, Stafford could get this to a 13-win team. all things going great. My thing is, Matthew Stafford plays well in pockets, not for a complete game. I've seen this happen so many times with Lions games. I honestly think it's more playing to who he is. He's a very good QB. Will never reach a great level, but he's a very good QB 80% of the time. It's that 20% where you're like, whoa, what is going on, bro? Because I honestly think that it's in those little pockets of space. That's where the Rams are going to lose the bulk of their games, because the Seahawks and 49ers are going to play them extremely tough, and Arizona is incredibly dangerous. I think that 10.5 total is way too tempting for people to bet the over. I think this Rams team wins about 10 games, maybe even 9 games. But I do not see this as an 11-12 win team. I don't see enough explosiveness out of their remaining running backs. Darrell Henderson, there's a reason why they traded for Sony Michel despite the multiple knee injuries. I think the Rams have some question marks on their offense that would need to be addressed. But, not feeling the line at all for the Rams. Moving on to their division rival, 49ers. Also at 10.5. Here's my deal with the 49ers. They played as well as they possibly could with nothing going on at offense. Garoppolo was injured for 10 games. The Kittle was out for 8. Debo Samuel lost for 9 games. Mostert lost half the year, 8 games. Bosa, I think, only played 3 games on the defensive side. Same with D Ford, I'm pretty sure. Like, the 49ers just had ridiculous injury issues. That's how they got Bosa in the first place. They make the run to the Super Bowl, then completely injured last year. Listen, I am smashing the win total. Like, 10.5, way too low. A healthy 49ers team wins 12 games. No, it pretty much is a lock for 12 games in a 17-game season. It's a 12 game. People want to say Garoppolo can't do it. I know Garoppolo can do it. It's just that, can he stay healthy enough to do it? That's the question. But if Garoppolo goes down, Trey Lance is going to be in the mix and create problems for teams. And if you don't think that Kyle Shanahan doesn't have a game plan for using Trey Lance similar to what Lamar Jackson does, and with as good of a blocking tight end George Kittle is, if you don't think the 49ers can execute a rushing attack that's as deadly or more dangerous than the Ravens, I'm sorry, you are not on the right frame of mind. Kyle Shanahan drafted Trey Lance because he saw what Lamar Jackson could do. He knows what Mac Jones is. He already has that in Garoppolo. What he's looking at is, if Garoppolo struggles or gets injured, how soon can I flip this into a dominant rushing attack similar to the Ravens and use that defense to force turnovers similar to the way the Ravens do, and still get my way into the postseason? He's looking at that model as the backup plan in case plan A doesn't work. Plan A is still Garoppolo. But if Garoppolo is struggling with injuries and can't get it done, don't hesitate for a second that they won't switch to Trey Lance and adopt the Baltimore offense, because the 49ers can easily execute that game plan with the running back core that they have and having a mobile QB like Trey Lance. It is very doable. So 49ers are one of my favorite bets this year. That 10.5 line, that's definitely low. I'm taking the over on the 49ers this year. I absolutely love the 49ers moving forward this year. Moving on, we've got the Browns. Very interesting here, because originally I loved the Browns line. I was hammering the Browns when they were 9.5 win total. unfortunately, because myself and other folks have been hammering the Browns window at 9.5 on the over, it's gone up to 10.5. And now it becomes a very interesting proposition, because that division still has the Ravens in it. I like the Ravens, and I like the Browns. But I know the Steelers hang around like fungus. In order for the Ravens and the Browns to both hit the over, they've got to be able to knock the Steelers below 500. I'm not sure if that's possible. The Steelers always find a way to get to 500 with Mike Tomlin. So now I love this line when it was 9.5. If you can still find this line at 10, at least you can bet it, because I think they get to 10 wins at least. 9.5, obviously you're golden. 10.5. Now, this is like, I want to hit the pause button here, because I like the Ravens more than I like the Browns. The Browns still have a dominant rushing attack with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. If Baker Mayfield gives them anything, then yeah, they will get to 11 wins. But Baker Mayfield had a very good 2020 season, but I'm telling you, on paper, it was very good. My issue with Baker is when he faced pressure, he was pretty much bottom of the barrel, even worse than Daniel Jones' numbers when facing pressure, which is really something when you think about it, given how bad the Giants are and how much pressure Daniel Jones faced and how much the Giants offense struggled, that there could be QBs with worse numbers than Daniel Jones in passer rating when facing pressure. So I kind of look at this and say, if you can shop around and find that 9.5 number, yeah, take the over. If not, you can pass on the Browns. It's not easy, because I do like the Browns this year. They still have the right mix of players. It's just we took advantage of the number and it went up. I mean, that happens. The odds makers make adjustments too. So. It is what it is. Moving on, we got the Packers at 10. I'm not gonna go crazy over this one. If you get the Packers at 10, take the over. Take the over, because Aaron Rodgers is still motivated. He's doing the Last Dance montages and memes. This is going to be Aaron Rodgers' swan song. He's going out there aggressively to prove a point to the Packers how much they screwed up the situation. The Packers are more than happy to say, hey, if you want to stick it to us, win a championship, prove us wrong. I just look at it as that's just a really foolish way of looking at it. I think Rodgers can play for at least another 4 years. So why would you piss him off to the extent that, like, you're going to use him up and then you say he's going to fall off completely? You've already seen with Brady, it is possible if you have the discipline maintenance, and that's what Rodgers seems to have, in my opinion. He has the discipline to keep himself in shape because given the injuries that Rodgers had in his career from line play at times, you would think that he would just start dialing it down, but no, he's ramping it up. I love the over 10 on the Packers line. It was higher before. People started doubting the Packers because of the Rodgers situation and is he unhappy or not. I'm taking the over. I think he's put way too much on the line for this not to pan out. So he's got more to lose than anybody else in terms of reputation. I definitely love the Packers line. Next up, Seahawks. Another team line that went up. It was 9.5. Now it's 10. I'm going to hit the pause button and just say pass on the 10. Here's the thing with Seattle. Russell Wilson, still one of the best QBs in the league. Without question. Most underrated QB in the league, in my opinion. But we know Russell Wilson has beef with the Seattle management because he's been pissed off that for years they cannot protect him. And again, they are still bad on the offensive line. They did get Gabe Jackson from the Raiders. And the thing is, Jackson has been on the decline for multiple years. There's a reason why the Raiders were willing to let him go. I don't know how, you know, even the Giants made more attempts at improving their offensive line than Seattle did. This is just purely based on, can Russell Wilson get this team to 10 wins? You know, we know what we have in Chris Carson, reliable running back, but will never be a superstar running back. Rashard Penny may end up being a bust as a running back. You know, you got a wide receiver Seattle never should have had in the first place in DK Metcalf as a burgeoning superstar. But if Russell Wilson cannot get protection on the offensive line, you can shut down this team. And there's enough talent in that division to make that 10 line kind of tough. 9.5, I can take the gamble. If I have to bet the 10 outright, I'm going to just pass on the Seahawks. Next up, we got the Patriots. 9.5 total now. And the line went up because Mac Jones got announced as a starter. That's what tells you why we all thought the Cam Newton experiment had already run its course, because we kind of knew what we were going to get with the Pats. A couple of games where they look absolutely dominant, and then a couple of games where you're just like, whoa, this is bad. Like, Cam, unfortunately, cannot throw for distance anymore to keep teams honest. So eventually, they get shut down. But, you know, looking at the Pats squad, they just don't have enough playmakers. And that's the limitations of the team. The defense, I know, is going to be on point. The problem is the offense. It's kind of crazy that Mac Jones is coming into a situation where this is basically Brady from 2002 through Brady's first full year. So, you know, obviously he had the Super Bowl run in 2001, but I'm saying 2002 through 2006 years before he got Randy Moss, this is the kind of offense Mac Jones is stepping into. I mean, Mac Jones showed good signs, but, you know, I can't necessarily say that, you know, is Mac Jones better than what the Pats would have had in Jimmy Garoppolo? No. I think Jimmy Garoppolo, if he had stayed in New England and they hadn't catered to Brady, I think Garoppolo would have been struggling, and this would have been Garoppolo's walk year to prove it or move on. But I just think that this offense, with the weapons around it, is not good enough to get the job done. That's the problem. So no matter who the quarterback is, I don't think this team has enough offensive weapons. Do I think they can get to 9 wins? Yes, because defensively they are still very stout, and they're going to be having players come back. New England lost the most number of players who opted out last year because of risks associated with COVID-19. They lost almost half the defensive starters last year. Those guys are back. And I expect that they're going to be able to execute quite efficiently. I just don't think they've got enough in the tank offensively to really make a run at the division. And it's the same issue I have with the Dolphins. The Dolphins and the Patriots are the same team. Stout defensively, gonna give teams fits, but the offensive attack, you know, and I'll segue this right into Miami. The Tua Tagovailoa pick over Justin Herbert may come back to haunt the Dolphins, because you see how much of a transition Herbert has been able to make versus Tua. You know, Tua was rehabbing all season long from a hip injury. Tua did not have the chance to be healthy and play. and got stuck with Chan Gailey as an offensive coordinator. Chan Gailey was an, I'll be kind. Chan Gailey, once upon a time, was a good offensive coordinator. But that was over a decade ago. Like, Chan Gailey had no business being an offensive coordinator. I don't know why the Dolphins tried to talk Chan Gailey out of retirement just so he could coach Ryan Fitzpatrick. When you drafted Tua as your quarterback of the future, you're bringing a dude out of retirement to coach the backup QB. It made no sense. No sense whatever. So Tua lost the entire year, in my opinion. He did not have an offense that was good enough. And, you know, they were saying Tua couldn't grasp the offense because no team ran that offense the way that they were running it anymore. It's not running college. Like, it's such an antiquated offense. Getting a more up-to-date offensive coordinator is actually going to benefit Tua to grasp the offense because he's trying to grasp an offense that would be the equivalent of learning Windows 95 in 2021. It doesn't make any sense. So, to me, the Tua question comes down to, this is really his rookie year. And with the weapons he has on offense, it's slightly better than New England. It's slightly better. But, again, I don't think necessarily that it's going to translate as easily. I like the chances of Miami getting to 10 wins more than New England. But to me, it's like, you know, I really think that it comes down to can Miami get a sweep the Jets? I think Miami has to sweep the Jets to get to 10 wins. If they don't sweep the Jets, I don't think they get to 10 wins. I just think it's a really tight fit in terms of some of these teams. So Miami, I'm going to pass on that line at 9.5. Moving on, we got the Saints. The team that probably should have won the Super Bowl last year if they had just benched Drew Brees. I'm not joking, and I've said this multiple times last year. That game against Tampa was one of the most frustrating things I had seen in football in quite some time because you knew Drew Brees had nothing in the tank for that game, and yet still, the Saints opted to go down with the ship. Now Drew's retired. You got a cranky Michael Thomas fighting with management. He's going to be out the first couple of weeks of the year. And Jameis Winston, who should be the starting QB and was named the starting QB, is still having to look over his shoulder because Sean Payton has an obsession with Taysom Hill. Now, I love this line for the Saints because it's only 9 wins. They think the Saints are going to be hot garbage without Breeze. And as I said, Breeze was the second best QB on his team last year. Jameis should have been starting. I don't understand this win total because everyone's afraid of Jameis like being god awful, and I don't understand it. Like Jameis is a better QB than Drew Brees was the last couple of years. This to me, the Saints are an 11-win team, and this win total is still at 9. I've been hammering this one, expecting it to go up. The biggest thing for the Saints is the fact that, honestly, if Sean Payton messes around with the Taysom Hill experiment, that's the thing that could take down the Saints. But you still have Alvin Kamara, and I love Tre'Quan Smith and Marquez Callaway. I think those guys are going to be players you should have on your fantasy rosters this season, if you want to be contending with teams, you need to be drafting Marquez Callaway and Tre'Quan Smith. They're going to be later round picks, but definitely have those guys on your roster because without Michael Thomas, there's going to be passes to be caught and people to pick up the slack. They are talented. they definitely would benefit mightily from Thomas being out. And Thomas, there's still a chance Michael Thomas gets traded. So I think the Saints, people are sleeping on them. That 9 win total is ridiculously low. I love the Saints to win, obviously win more, but I think that's an 11-win team. The defense is still loaded. They're going to give Tampa all they can handle in that division. Fire me up some Saints. Yeah, because I definitely expect them to take off. Now we come to the Tennessee Titans. Also, with a win total that, I'll be honest, I think is low. The issue that I see with the Titans is the fact that folks are wondering if that offensive line can stay healthy. But in terms of efficiency, they added Julio Jones. They dumped Corey Davis, who was a non-entity, in my opinion. Like, Corey Davis was a bust. You telling me you got Julio Jones and A.J. Brown to draw attention, you have to respect the passing game deep. It's going to open up the running lanes even more for Derrick Henry. I don't understand how people are questioning how the Titans are going to win games. They're going to run it up on teams, and they're going to be very efficient at it. I love the Titans this year. 9 is way too low. You've got a division where you got the Jags, the Texans, and the Colts. Are you kidding me? Really? And you're still only saying that that win total is way too low. Just hammering the Titans this year. I also think that's at least 10 wins. Minimum. Probably win 12. It wouldn't even shock me in the slightest if they just stomped that division. That division's terrible. And guess what? Carson Wentz got hurt. Again. Yeah, he may be back to start the first couple of weeks of the year, but he's not going to be 100% ready to go. There's no way I'm taking... the Colts win total went down to 9 for a reason, yet the Titans did not go up. They play in the same division. How can you take down the Titans? How can you take down the Colts win total but not bump up the Titans? It makes no sense to me. I'm hammering that Titans line. Colts line, also at 9. Here's the thing. Carson Wentz, not there currently. Their backup QBs are injured. They let Jacoby Brissett go to the Dolphins. Now, I said this last year. Jacoby Brissett was the best quarterback on that team. Not Phillip Rivers. Now you don't even have Phillip Rivers at all. You don't have Brissett. I mean, you lost Costanzo, who retired. And then Costanzo, who was a Pro Bowl tackle. I'm sorry. Eric Fisher is a solid tackle. Played well for the Chiefs, but he is a downgrade for Costanzo. I have some real questions about the Colts this year, because the truth of the matter is that, you know, it depends on which Carson Wentz we get, but that's going to take a while for that to develop, in my opinion. You know, I'm not saying I'm going to take the under on the Colts, because that division is god-awful. It is awful. I don't know how the Jags have a win total of 6.5. That win total, like, we are taking the under on the Jags 6.5 all day, every day on this podcast. But with that being said, I'm very wary of the Colts even saying anything. I don't think they can win 10 games. With the questions on the offensive line, You got injuries there, because and this was the weirdest thing. Quentin Nelson had the exact same foot injury as Carson Wentz, like within, I think it was either like a day or 48 hours of each other. They both went down with the exact same foot injury. And Nelson's missing. Like, the Colts are a run-based team, and they don't have their all-pro guard. I'm just saying. And they ran to Quentin Nelson's side 80% of the time. This has the recipe for a disaster season for the Colts. I'm going to give them benefit of the doubt, but let me be perfectly blunt. This Colts season could go in a nosedive very quickly if Wentz is not 100% healthy and he gets hurt again as soon as he comes back, which is entirely possible. Next up, how about them Cowboys? Okay, you know, Dallas, 9 win total. Here's the thing with the NFC East. I think this division is going to come down to week 17. And honestly, it would not shock me if a team won this division with only 9 wins. I think a 9-8 team is going to win this division because I think all these teams are going to be right there in that 8 win mix. I'm not touching this line with a 10-foot pole for a win total. It really comes down to the divisional matchups because every one of these NFC East teams have so many critical flaws. The Cowboys last year were so unmotivated to tackle people that, you know, you could run on them for days. If you just throw a short passing game, you run out. Van Der Esch, his neck issues cropped up. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is. And Jalen Smith had a terrible season last year. I mean, the Cowboys defense was just brutal. Absolutely brutal. I just don't know what that defense is going to be able to put forward. It really is going to be a huge question mark. And again, this flaw extends to multiple NFC East teams. The Giants, weak offensive line, stout defense. How are they going to generate wins? I mean, the line on the Giants is actually better than most of the NFC East teams. The Giants are only at 7 wins. I would take the over on the Giants, actually. For the first time in years, I'm actually taking the over on the Giants win total because I think the division is weak enough that the Giants can actually take advantage of getting some extra wins. Washington, 8.5. Again, it's about the defensive line for Washington, but offensive line, not very good, and you're relying on Ryan Fitzpatrick not to screw up. I'll be honest, the thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick is that you know he's going to botch something. It's what he does. So, to me, it's like one of the most obvious things that Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to have a botch at some point. There's no if, it's just when. And there's a reason why he's never made the playoffs. So to me, Fitzpatrick, you know, the win total for Washington doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I get it because they want to pick on the division. I think the Giants win more. I think the Cowboys kind of regress. And then Philly, whenever people completely bury Philly, that's when the Eagles usually come back to surprise folks. So I would actually take the over on the Eagles, even though the team looks like hot garbage. I think the Eagles can get to 7 wins, and possibly 8. Again, it depends on the games that Dallas and Washington fumble. Because I think the Giants usually take advantage of the opportunities that they have. But I definitely think, you know, if you're relying on the Cowboys and Washington to take care of business, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Sooner or later, it's going to be when those losses happen. So definitely going to take it a grain of salt with the NFC East teams. Steelers, we talked about this. The Steelers hang around like fungus. The line's 8.5. I think the Steelers get to 9. I can't see the Steelers being sub 500. Even though I've said it repeatedly, Ben Roethlisberger's arm is completely done. You know, I said this before. Eli's arm held up the best between Ben and Phillip Rivers. The problem was Eli just never had any offensive line protection to actually get the ball free because Eli's utterly immobile. But Phillip Rivers' arm was basically done. He was throwing up the pop gun interceptions all the time. Ben, the Steelers catered everything around Ben and his deficiencies as he's gotten older. But because of that, they've completely hamstrung the offense. You know, Lev Bell and Antonio Brown did it the wrong way, but they were right in calling out the Steelers catering of Ben being detrimental to the team as a whole. The Steelers needed to move on from Ben ages ago and just refused to do so because they're the Steelers. They're stubborn that way. But, you know, this is the end of the run for the Steelers being taken as a legitimate threat in the AFC. The Steelers win 9 games. I think they take the 8.5 win total and they go over. But it will not be pretty to watch. I'll say that. It will come down to the Steelers' defense making enough plays to get them to 9 wins, but that's about it for the Steelers. Arizona, 8.5 total. The thing about the Cardinals that makes it this one a dangerous line is the fact that I like Seattle a bit, and I love the 49ers. The problem with that is it has to come at the expense of someone else. And, you know, as much as you can pick on the Rams, you know, one team's going to have to take the L, like, in the division if the others are going to get close. And I think the Cardinals are probably going to be that team, even though they'll be in every single one of these games. It's going to be razor thin. If you want to take the over on the Cardinals, I won't blame you. But I think, you know, in order for the Cardinals to actually get over the 8.5, the Rams have got to come down. And I don't necessarily see that happen. I think the Rams may be eked by the Cardinals. I think it's this division is extremely close. But I would really want to bet the under on the Cardinals because I think they're good enough that they can surprise teams. Speaking of teams that will not surprise teams, Denver Broncos. How the hell is this line 8.5 for the Broncos? I mean, I like Teddy Bridgewater as much as the next guy, but it's still not going to mean a whole lot about it. It's not going to do a whole lot for this team. I'm sorry. Like, this team is not very good. You don't have a set running back. Your wide receiver core is young, but I don't necessarily see a breakout star there. I could get surprised, but I just don't understand how the Broncos have an 8.5 win total. I would take the Raiders over the Broncos, to be honest. I'm betting the under on the Broncos 8.5, even though I'm not a fan of the Raiders either, but I think the Raiders are a better team than the Broncos, so I definitely can't take the 8.5 on the Broncos unless I'm going under. Bears, 7.5. Woo! That's pretty accurate. Could the Bears get to 8 wins? Yes. Will they get to 8 wins? Who knows? Honestly, depends on if the Vikings screw up. If the Vikings don't screw up, I think the Bears are a 7-win team. You know, it is what it is, so when it comes to the division. But, you know, I think this is a learning year for Justin Fields. The sooner they get on with it and just play Fields, I think they'll be better off trying to get wins. I just don't get it. I really don't get it. Carolina, where do we begin? Like, 7.5 for the Panthers? Oh, man, I love this. You give me Christian McCaffrey, you give me a better quarterback in Darnold. Like I said, I love Teddy Bridgewater. He's a game manager. But I do think Darnold has more zip on the arm, has better rapport, obviously, with Roddy Anderson. And Roddy Anderson had some great games with Bridgewater. But I'm telling you, he will be better with Sam Darnold. That wide receiving core is loaded with talent. I think that the Panthers win at least 9 games this year. I'm hammering the Panthers this year in terms of lines. That's a team, much like the Saints, did not get nearly enough respect in terms of... And that's why I think it's hard for me to see the Tampa line, because I think both the Panthers or Saints are better than what people are giving them credit for. You know, you can pick on Atlanta all you want at 7.5. I get that. Like, Atlanta's not good, so I would probably take the under on Atlanta. But the problem I see for Tampa Bay is the fact that Carolina and the Saints are better than what Vegas is giving them odds for. And that's just the bottom line. Atlanta, 7.5. They are... I would not be shocked if the Falcons try to start tanking this year to get Matt Ryan's replacement. So I'm definitely taking the under on that. I already told you I like the Panthers and Saints. And the Bucs are still going to be good. So Atlanta can take all the L's for all I care. I don't think they're any good anyway. So definitely taking the under on the 7.5. The Raiders at 7. Yeah, they could win only 7 games. But they could get to 8. It wouldn't shock me. I would probably stay away from that line. It's a little bit too close to the nose for my taste. The Bengals at 6.5. Fair line. I think the Bengals are probably a 6-win team. Could they win some more games at the expense of the Steelers? Yeah, if it's truly over for the Steelers, the Bengals can beat them. So they could get to 7 wins. It would not shock me. So I'm not as appealed about that line. The Jets at 6, I'm taking the over there. Just because I see the Jets as a team where they've been down for so long that I can see the Jets pulling off an upset here or there to be at 6 wins. I'm not taking the over. I should have corrected that. As like, if I said the over, I meant like I could see them at 6 wins, but not necessarily taking the over there. I could see them getting to 6 wins. 7 is pushing it, but I could see them at 6 wins. It's not that appealing of a line to take the under on, in my opinion. We already talked about the Jaguars. Hot garbage that team is. James Robinson actually might steal an extra win or two for them now that Travis Etienne's out for the season. But I don't see how are people thinking that Trevor Lawrence is getting this team to 7 wins? Like, to me, that's I'll take that bet. I am taking that bet to the house. I don't care. To me, that's one of the easiest calls of the year, that the Jags are 5-12 team, probably 4-13, but at least 5-12 is the most likely scenario for them, in my opinion. The Lions and Dan Campbell will be a train wreck to behold for all of us, and I think 4 wins is about where they should be. The Lions at 4.5. Could someone do something stupid to give the Lions a 5th win? Sure. With Jared Goff at QB, not likely. I will take the under on the Lions at 4.5. Because there's nothing about that team I like. Like, so at that point, you get to a stage where if you find nothing about a team you like, they're more than likely going to tank. And then the Texans at 4 wins. Listen, Deshaun Watson's not going to be there. They're going to line up their franchise QB. This is Tank City on its way. I see the Texans just dropping a bunch of games. And, you know, perhaps that's why the Colts got the number that they did. But I just think that there are too many other teams. And this may be where the Jags get to 7 is because they think the Texans are going to be that bad. It's possible, but at 4 wins, you got to think someone's going to start trying to go out of their way to tank, and the Texans would be my number one pick for a team that just outright tanks to only win 2 games this year. That's the way I lean with the Texans. So I would take the bet on the under for the Texans, even at 4, because I think at a certain point, they're going to go out of their way to try to tank. I don't think Deshaun Watson is ever going to play for the Texans again, even if it is to try to boost trade value. I think that would be a disastrous move on the Texans' part. Just trade the man already. You know, and that's really where it lines up. So that there you have it. You know, the win totals, bets for the 2021 season. You know, again, I'm telling you, I like some of these teams where you just don't see teams paying attention to them. Again, the Panthers, definitely like my odds there. When you get to the Titans, way too low. You know, you're just looking at some of these teams, and it just speaks to you. Like the Titans and the Saints, again, too low. So again, you know, there are definitely teams to target, but you know, I would definitely look at some of these nine win projection teams for the Saints and the Titans and hammer that. The Panthers as well, 7.5. I definitely think they can get the 9 wins. You know, there are teams to target for win totals. So that's all I got, but hope you guys enjoyed the show, and definitely more NFL content coming down the pike sooner than later. Season's ramping up very quickly, and obviously we got Labor Day coming up, so I'll be recording more. You know, hopefully get some time to get it out before the holiday, but if not, we'll do it after the holiday, and we'll get a flood of stuff coming. So more to come, but hope you enjoyed the show, and best of luck to you.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all other major outlets.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of 3 and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.